in the Lord's house. So it's been a good day all day long. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 4 tonight. So if you'll find your way to Philippians chapter 4, making our way through this book, and we're talking about turning obstacles into opportunities. Tonight I want to talk to you about conquering your biggest worries. For 3 years, Michelle and I lived right outside of the little town of Covington, Louisiana. Some of you may know where Covington is. It's just about an hour north of New Orleans, right across Lake Pontchartrain. And we served a church there. And about 5 days a week for the 3 years that we lived there, either Michelle or I or both of us would drive through Covington, then through Mandeville, Louisiana, and then we'd get on the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. And I don't know if you've ever been on that bridge before. It's the longest bridge over water in the whole world. I remember the first time I got on that bridge, 24 miles long. You can't see where you're going. You can't see the other shore as you get out on that bridge. You just feel like you're driving off into the water. From the north shore to the south shore is, as I said, about 24 miles. And normally, it's about the simplest, easiest 24 miles you'll ever drive. It's straight, it's flat, it's simple. In fact, I will have to tell you, some days I would drive across that bridge and not even remember the fact that I had been on that bridge. It was just that easy to drive across. But on some days, fog would settle in on that bridge, and suddenly that straight, simple drive became very dangerous. I've seen cars go off the bridge because they were traveling too fast or following too close in the thick fog. And if the fog became very, very thick and dangerous, they'd shut down the bridge completely. Now, most of you have been in fog that's so thick that it seems like you could cut it with a knife. But something that I didn't know about fog, and maybe you knew this or maybe you didn't, did you know that a dense fog thick enough and extensive enough to cover 7 city blocks 100 feet deep is composed of only 1 8-ounce glass of water divided into 60,000 million droplets. Just 8 ounces of water, less than you might take to use to take a pill. And 8 ounces of water spread out can stop the world's busiest airport in its track and can cause a 70-car pileup on a major interstate. Just a little bit of water spread out can do that. Well, worry is just like fog. A little bit of worry can stop you dead in your tracks. I don't know if you've ever been paralyzed by worry or fear, but most people have. Someone has said, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Tonight I want to talk to you about conquering your biggest worries. I want to talk to you about how you can kiss your worries goodbye. One mother said, I kiss them goodbye every morning when they go to school. But I want to talk to you about how you can kiss your worries goodbye. So look with me in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to stand as we read God's word together. We're going to begin in verse 4 of the text. Stand with me as we read together. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And there Paul begins with this command: rejoice in the Lord always. All the time, he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So he begins this passage by telling us to rejoice, and then he moves into what often keeps us from rejoicing, and that's the power of worry in our lives. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the experiences we've had today, the things we've seen and heard, the things that we've felt today here in your house. And Lord, we thank you for the way you are working and moving among us. Now, Lord, take your word and speak to the deepest parts of who we are. And Lord God, I pray for brothers and sisters in this room tonight who struggle with worry and anxiety. Lord, some in this room are struggling over a particular thing that's worrying them. Others have just a general tendency and temptation to struggle and suffer with worry. And so God, speak to us tonight, and we'll give you glory and honor and praise for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, that shows us that people long, long ago struggled with worry just as we do today. People in biblical times worried about all kinds of things. They worried about their finances. They worried about their future. They worried about their families, their health, their jobs. They worried about all the things that we worry about. But today, we're blessed with even more to worry about. Thanks to the newspaper and cable news and the internet, we can worry about things now all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, I've read that couples tend to worry in different directions. Men and women worry in two different directions. IKEA, the furniture company, did a survey, and they asked for the top five worries that keep men awake at night and the top five worries that keep women awake. And I'll just share these with you. And remember, I want to remind you, I'm just reporting these things to you. I did not create this survey or the answers. Here are the top five things that men worry about. Fear of aging, their own weight, their wife's weight. I'm just reporting these things to you. Their career and personal finance. Those are the top five worries for men. Here are the top five worries for women. Personal finance, world issues, their children, their friends' health, and fear of aging. We tend to think of worry as just a habit or just something we do. We might think of worry as weakness, but God's word says that worry is not just weakness. Worry is wickedness. It's a sin for believers in Jesus Christ to worry, because God has commanded us not to worry. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus commands three times, do not worry. If he only said it one time, that'd be enough for all of eternity. He said it three times in the Sermon on the Mount. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Word of God says, don't be anxious about anything. And so God commands us not to worry. But here's the good thing. God doesn't just command us not to worry. Listen, if all God did was command us not to worry and leave it there, if he left it there, then we'd worry about the fact that God commanded us not to worry. We'd be nervous about, how am I going to stop worrying? I talked to one lady. She came up to me and she said, Pastor, I'm really thankful that you preach on not worrying. She said, I don't worry about anything, but I've got a daughter and she worries about everything, and I'm really worried about her. So thank you so much for just bringing this message. God doesn't just command us not to worry. He gives us the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the strength of his word, to overcome our greatest worries. So tonight I want to talk to you about four strategies the word of God gives us in this passage for kissing your worries goodbye. Four simple strategies to overcome your greatest worries. Here's the first strategy we see in the word of God. Take your anxieties, take your worries to God in prayer. If you want to conquer worry, take your anxieties to God in prayer. Prayer is the key to so many things in our spiritual lives. Prayer gives us the heart of God. Prayer molds our character into the character of Christ. But the Bible also shows us here that character, or that prayer, alleviates our anxieties. Now look in verse 6 of our text. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word anxious there in verse 6 of our text is a Greek word that means a divided mind. It means to have a mind that's divided between two things. A mind divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. A mind divided between things that you can do something about and things beyond your control. The Bible says, do not be anxious. Don't have your mind divided by anything. I read about a French soldier in World War I who carried into battle a prescription for worry. Listen to the words he carried around with him in his pocket. He wrote this: of two things, one is certain. Either you are at the front or you are behind the lines. If you're at the front, of two things, one is certain. Either you are exposed to danger or you are in a safe place. If you're exposed to danger, of two things, one is certain. Either you are wounded or you are not wounded. If you are wounded, of two things, one is certain. Either you recover or you die. If you recover, there is no need to worry. If you die, you can't worry. He just carried that around with him to remind him not to worry about anything. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't waste your time worrying. How many people in this room have ever wasted your time worrying? Just say amen if you have. I have. I'll say amen to that. I can remember some time back we had been on a mission trip together as a family to Malaysia. Malaysia is about as far away from here as you can get. In fact, I figured it out that if I'd gone any further away from home as I traveled toward Malaysia, if I went any further away from home, I'd actually start getting closer back to home. That's how far away. It's just on the other side of the world. And so we had been to Malaysia for some time, and we got back, and because it was such a big time shift, it was the worst jet lag that I've ever had. I've had opportunity to travel a lot and have to deal with jet lag, but I've never had jet lag like I had after that trip to Malaysia. It seems like for days and even weeks, I just couldn't sleep through the night. I'd go to sleep and sleep maybe an hour or so, and then I'd be up all night. Now, that was the bad news. The worst news was that as I was up all night, I found myself thinking about every particle of my life. I thought about everything. I thought about things that I had done 10 years before. I thought about things that I might do 10 years from them. I took all of my thoughts and I turned them upside down, sideways, horizontally, vertically, diagonally. I worked and worked and worked, thought through things. I solved all kinds of problems in my mind, and the next morning I couldn't remember any of the solutions. I stewed and brewed and ruminated and meditated, and I desperately needed to get some sleep. And then late one night, I just stopped worrying about all those things I'd been worrying about. And I said, Lord, since I know that you're going to be up all night anyway, will you please take these things from me and help me to rest? Now, I'd like to say that sleep came instantly. It didn't. The jet lag was still there, but the worries began to fade away. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, take your worries to God in prayer. Now, if you'll notice in these verses, the Bible uses in verse 6 four different words for prayer. It says, first of all, by prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. That word prayer is a general word for telling your desires to God. It points to the frame of mind that we have to have. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm bringing my needs to you. Instead of holding on to my needs, I'm going to release them and bring them to you in prayer. So he uses the word prayer. Then he uses the word supplication. When Paul talks about supplication, it's a picture of a servant coming to his master with a need that must be met. A supplication comes from another word that means to want. So supplication means coming to God and say, God, I have something I want in my life. I have a need in my life. I have a problem in my life. I have an area of deficiency and lack in my life, and I'm bringing that to you. So it talks about prayer. It talks about supplication. Then it talks about requests. Present your requests to God. That word request stands for particular items on your prayer agenda, specific things that you bring to the Lord. Listen, when you're struggling with worry, don't just say, Lord, take my worries from me. You bring to him your specific needs and name them. Tell him what those needs are. And then the last word is thanksgiving. And notice the Bible says to pray and make supplication with thanksgiving. That's a reminder that all of our prayer has to be accompanied by a heart of gratitude and thankfulness before God. So the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Dr. David Jeremiah has said that the Christian life is composed of three circles. You can sort of draw those three circles in your imagination and think about each one. The first circle is the worry circle. And what goes in the worry circle? The answer is nothing. Don't put anything in your life in the worry circle. The second circle is the prayer circle. What goes in that circle? Everything. Bring everything to the Lord in prayer. And then the third circle is the thanksgiving circle. What goes in that circle? Anything. Anything you see God doing in your life that you can give Him thanks for, put it in that circle. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything and be thankful for anything. And so first of all, the Bible tells us to kiss your worries goodbye. Take your anxieties to God in prayer. Then there's a second part of the strategy for conquering your biggest worries. Number two, trust your heart to God's protection. Trust your heart to God's protection. Now look in verse 7 of the text. This verse tells us what happens when we begin to trade our worries for prayer. The Bible says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that when we begin to pray and bring all our worries to God in prayer, that God's peace begins to guard our hearts and minds. That word peace is a serenity of soul that comes only through the grace of God. In the Word of God, peace is not the absence of conflict. Listen, if peace were the absence of conflict, we'd never have any peace because there's always conflict. But peace instead is the presence of Jesus ruling and reigning in our lives. And as Jesus is ruling, as Jesus is reigning, through Him, we can have peace in the midst of the conflict, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the tumult, in the midst of the trials and tests, we can have peace as we trust our hearts to God's protection. And then the Bible talks about this, about God's peace. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Listen, God's peace is a peace that you just can't figure out. God's peace goes beyond your ability to reason it out and put it all together. It's not a peace that even makes sense because your circumstances may not change at all. But as you're trusting God, this peace is completely dependent upon Him, and His peace is greater than your understanding. And here's what His peace does. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. To guard there is a military term. It means to set up a sentinel. Like a soldier, like a guard, God's peace will watch over your heart and your mind. I heard about a woman who woke up her husband because she thought she heard a burglar downstairs. He went downstairs with a flashlight. He was shining the flashlight all around, and sure enough, there was a burglar in their home. The husband called out and said, "Hold it right there. I've got a gun on you." He dialed the phone. He called the police, and then he said to the burglar, "And another thing, before you go, I want my wife to come down here and meet you. She's been looking for you for 24 years. You know, a lot of people are that way. That they're always borrowing trouble by anticipating and worrying about what may happen. What we need to do is to stop looking to yesterday in guilt and to stop anticipating tomorrow with anxiety and start living today in God's peace. God wants you to live with a mind at rest and in peace. And here's the truth. You can't serve Him the way He wants you to serve Him if your mind is always tangled up in worries. I watched some of you as you came into church tonight, and here's what I noticed. I observed that none of you came into this room and examined the pew that you're sitting on before you sat down on it to make sure it would hold you up. You just sat down and trusted that it would hold you up. I didn't see one person that looked underneath or checked it out, or you just sat right down assuming it would hold you. Most of you got here by a car. You slid in your car, you turned on the ignition, and away you came. Most of us don't have a clue how our cars work anymore. We if you open up the hood, we don't know what's going on under there. We trust that car to take us where we need to go. The last time you went to a doctor, he wrote out a little prescription. You couldn't read his handwriting. In fact, you wondered if anybody could read the thing. And then you took it to your pharmacist closest, who you couldn't see and who you may not know. He gave you a bottle full of pills. You don't know what the ingredients are. He said, take these 3 times a day, and trustingly, you do exactly what you were told to do. You see, trust is woven into the system. We trust so many people. We trust so many things. When are God's people going to really start trusting God? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So if you want to stop worrying, start trusting your heart to God's protection. Number three, third strategy for conquering your greatest worries, turn your thoughts to something praiseworthy. Turn your thoughts to something praiseworthy. We've already seen that worry begins in your mind. Now, it may affect your stomach, it may affect your heart, it may affect your relationship, but worry begins right between your ears. So to conquer worry, you have to turn your thoughts away from anxiety and turn your thoughts toward things that are praiseworthy and virtuous. Look in verse 8 of our text. Notice what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything, any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think, that's your mind, that's what your mind is set on, think about these things. You see, the Bible tells us to be careful about what we think on. Now, that's not the only place the Bible says that. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, God says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So I want you to look again with me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I want you to think with me about 6 different things that the Bible tells you to think about. It says, think about whatever is true. Whatever is true. One doctor reported a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things that people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% of things that people worry about are either imaginary or never happen or involve things over which people have no control anyway. And one man was talking to his friend. He said, man, you worry about all these things all the time. Most things you worry about never even happen. He said, well, my worrying must be doing some good then. But you and I both know, worry has never done you any good in your life. There's not one person here who has a testimony as to the positive power of worry in your life. There's not one of us who say, you know, I had a problem and I worried about it and I lost sleep over it and I became irritable about it and just hard to get along with and was just preoccupied with it all the time. And it all worked out because I worried about it. Not one person. But when we begin to set our minds on what God has for us and to trust in him, there are people all across this room. In fact, I just ask you, how many of you have a testimony and say, God answered some prayer in my life? Just raise your hand. All of us have seen God answer when we pray. So why take that time worrying when we could be praying? Think about whatever things are true. And then again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, think about whatever is honorable. Whatever is honorable. The word honorable there means worthy of respect. There are many things that are not respectable. And Christians should not think about those things. That doesn't mean we should hide our heads in the sand and avoid what's unpleasant. But it does mean that we don't focus our attention on dishonorable things. Think about what you read, what your mind goes to, what you feed your heart and your soul on. The Bible says they should be things that are honorable. Verse 8 again says, whatever is just. Just means righteous as compared to unrighteous. Continuing on, whatever is pure. Pure here probably refers to moral purity, since people then as now were constantly attacked by temptations to sexual impurity. Think about things that are pure. Then it says, think about things that are lovely. Whatever is lovely. And then it says, think about things that are commendable. Whatever is commendable. Commendable means worthy of talking about, appealing to our own hearts and minds. And then at the end of verse 8, it summarizes this way. It says, if there is any excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Not one Christian here, not one of us, can afford to spend our time and our mind power on things that aren't praiseworthy. There once was a highway sign in Canada that said this. It said, take care which rut you choose. You will be in it for the next 25 miles. highway side. Our thoughts make the ruts which our actions have to follow. What you think, you wind up doing. What you ponder, you may wind up practicing. What you learn, you may wind up living. So guard your mind. Guard your mind. Some things that are in our minds were placed there apart from our own will. Someone forced us to have memories that we wish we never had. But many of the things that plague us and worry us are things that we choose to put in to our own minds. That's why the Bible tells us to guard what we think about. Every person here, guard what you put into your mind. You may not be able to get it out of your mind. And the best strategy for guarding your mind is to fill it with godly things. Well, then there's a fourth way the Bible shows us of conquering our biggest worries. Number four, trade your fears for God's peace and presence. Trade your fears for God's peace and presence. Look again in verse 9 of the text. It's a summary verse for the whole text. And there in Philippians 4, verse 9, Paul writes, "What you have learned and received and heard and see in me, practice. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The Bible says if you take your anxieties to God in prayer, if you trust your heart to God's protection, if you turn your thoughts to something praiseworthy, then you'll experience God's peace and presence. And in fact, notice how he says it again in verse 9. He says, the God of peace will be with you. Earlier, he talked about the peace of God. Here he talks about the God of peace. Listen, it's wonderful to have the peace of God. It's even greater to have the God of peace. When the God of peace is working in your heart, when you encounter him, his peace and his presence are wonderful. Years ago, in the pioneer days of aviation, a pilot was making a flight around the world. After he was 2 hours out of his last landing field, he heard a noise in his plane, and he recognized the noise as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground at that last stop, a rat had gotten in, and for all he knew, that rat could be gnawing through a vital cable or control of the plane. It was a serious situation. He was concerned. He was worried. He was anxious, and at first he didn't know what to do. He was 2 hours back to the landing field from which he had taken off, and more than 2 hours to the next field ahead. But then he remembered something. He remembered that that rat is a rodent, and that that rodent was not made for heights. It's meant to live on the ground and under the ground. And so that pilot took his plane and he began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet, then another 1,000, and then until another 1,000, until he was more than 20,000 feet up. And then at 20,000 feet in that little plane, the gnawing ceased because the rat was dead. He just went up so high that the rat couldn't live anymore. He couldn't survive in the atmosphere of those heights. More than 2 hours later, the pilot brought the plane safely to the next landing field, and there, somewhere in that plane, he found the rat dead. Well, worry is like a rodent. And here's what I want you to know. It'll gnaw away at you, and it can destroy you if you let it. But it can't survive the heights. And if you'll take your soul to the heights through prayer, through trust in God, and through faith in the Word of God, his Word and his presence will destroy and immobilize the worry in your life. I want you to do something right now. We're going to finish up, but I want you to do something. I want you to take either hand, but make a fist as tight as you can make it. Just do it right now. Everybody do it. Take your hand. Make your fist as tight as you can make it. Make it tight enough that you can begin to feel your fingernails digging into the palm of your hand just a little bit. Make it as tight. Make it tight, tight, tight. Make it tight until you can sort of feel your muscles cramping up, until you begin to feel a little bit of pain just as you make that. That's what worry is like in your life. You know, the word worry comes from an old word that means to strangle. When we allow worry to come into our lives, It strangles us. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from experiencing the life that God wants us to experience. Just make that fit. That's what worry is. It's when you hold on to the concerns of your life and you think, I got to take care of this with my own hand. I've got to manage this myself. I've got to make it happen or it won't happen. And that's what worry does to us. Now I want you to do this. Open up your hand. And do you notice it's sort of hard to open up your hand after you made a fist that tight, isn't it? But open up your hand. Just hold your palm out to the Lord. That's what trusting the Lord is like. And sometimes it's hard to do because we've gotten used to holding on to things for ourselves. But just take your hand and do like that and say, Lord, here's that thing I'm worried about. Here's the thing that's been bothering me. And Lord, right now, I just open it up to you. I give it to you. I ask you to take it away from my hand. And by prayer, I'm going to trust in you to take care of me. I promise you, his hand is greater than your hand. You believe that tonight? And he can take that worry and he can work in your life. Join with me as we pray. Lord Jesus, you know everything about us. You know what we're going through right now. You know what we're facing tomorrow. You know the things that are worrying some of your people in this room tonight. And Lord, you know about some of us in this room, and Lord, you know I'm one of those people who struggle with worry. Lord, thank you for commanding us not to worry. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that worry is not just a weakness, but a sin. Because, Lord, we know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. So he paid the price for our worry. We thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the grave to give us victory over sin. And so, Lord, tonight you'll give us victory. By your Spirit, empower us to live our lives trusting you and not experiencing that worry. So, Lord Jesus, tonight, even in these moments, take that thing that your people have been worried about, that thing that we would hold on to so tightly, and help us just to open up and say, Lord, here it is. Take it from my hand. I pray, Lord, for those here tonight who are worried about a financial issue in their family. I pray, God, for those who are worried about some health issue, some who are going through a time of illness, or they've got a friend or someone they love very much who's going through a time of illness. God, teach us not to worry, to trust you in those things. I pray, Lord, for those who are worried about the future or worried about someone they care very much about. Lord, we think of our friends and family members who don't know Christ. And Lord, we confess we worry about them. Lord, teach us to pray for them. And to trust them into your hands. Then, Lord Jesus, as we walk by faith in you, fill us with your peace that we might rejoice in you in all circumstances. We'll give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.